This is Jennifer Hunt with Gladys Brown on the 16th of July 2014 at her home in Ippleton, Newton Abbot, Devon. Gladys, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Well, I'm age 93 and I did quite a number of jobs in the WRVS years ago. In recent years I've done nothing, obviously. Since I'm moving to Ippleton, I've lost all contact with everybody, actually. I've had no contact at all whatsoever.
And what are your earliest memories of WRVS or WVS?
I don't know. I don't know how I got into it. I've been thinking about that myself, because none of my neighbours were members. I must have seen something written somewhere, a poster or something, which took me into the office. But in those days, it was a very small office, and it was in a building which was demolished eventually, and then eventually they had an office in a big building which belonged to the council. But in the early days, I think the first thing I did was the collecting furniture. I had a 1500 weight van, and with another lady, not always the same one, we'd go around picking up furniture which other people didn't want, and storing it in the basement of this council block. It was called Putney. I had a Putney House, I think it was called. Mm. But I'm not sure. That's years ago.
Yeah. And this was in Bath and...
Yes.
Yeah, that's in Bath. Somerset area.
Yes.
And why did you decide to join WVS?
I don't know. It just seemed the right thing to do. I mean, I had plenty of time on my hands. My husband had a good position. I didn't have to work, and I had somebody used to come and clean the house three times a week. Nowadays I have it once a week, but in those days it was three times a week the woman came, and it was just filled in my time and did something useful.
And what was your, as well as picking up and delivering furniture, what other roles did you have?
Well, as everyone, I did Meals on Wheels. If the lady running Meals on Wheels was short of a driver, then she'd phone me up and I'd do that for her. But I wasn't what you'd call a regular once a week person. Most of them were. Most of them did it for one day a week, for, was it 3 hours or so, something like that. We'd go to the kitchen and pick up the food and take it round to various addresses. But the person with me usually knew more about the district of Bath than I did, mm-hmm. So that was another reason why I had somebody with me, because, she already knew where the houses were. But it wasn't my main occupation at all. Well, I did anything really, mm-hmm. that needed doing. I mean, I got into actually cooking. Because we did some minor cooking out at the, when we had a tattoo every year in Bath, and we had to, produce, I think it was sort of cakey things and tea for, people there. But I know I went at my own expense. I went and took a cooking course, which didn't really help, because it was meant for young chefs who knew nothing about cooking, and I'd already been doing cooking, but I having paid the fees, I went through with it. But I don't know. I just wanted to fill my life with something useful.
Yeah.
And
when you were doing Meals on Wheels, who were you delivering meals to?
Well, mostly what I am now, although I don't feel that way. So elderly people who couldn't cope. But I mean, when I'm thinking it back, it really was those that were fragile. you know. I mean, I'm 93, but I still cope. I still walk next door to the shop and buy my own groceries and do minor cooking. I don't do a great amount of cooking, but I do, you know, small things. But of course, I'm lucky in that I've got a daughter in the village here and a granddaughter, so that, you know, if I am in trouble, I can always call on them.
And you told me a little bit about the volunteers you used to work with on Meals on Wheels. Were there any other volunteers you used to work with at the office?
Well, you see, there was a lady, a paid secretary, who was in the office permanently, and she would bring me up and say, "Will I do so and so?" And did I need help? And I'd say, yes, I'd like somebody. And she would produce the person. So they weren't chosen by me. They were chosen by the office, you know. But I got to know some of them quite well. But they weren't actually under me as such. They were there to help if I needed them. I mean, if we had heavy furniture to carry, then obviously I needed help. I hadn't a staff under me or anything like that. They just asked me to do things and I would do it. I would do it. But it was filled up my otherwise rather vacant life, because the trouble is, when you're married to, I was married to a fairly senior civil servant, and we get moved around a lot. And when you go to a new place, you don't know anybody. And then that's why I threw myself into WRVS, because although I everybody else had been there donkey's years, I didn't know anyone to start with. But I've always liked to fill my time with something useful, I suppose, is the answer. But I did avoid the school holidays, because I've still got a caravan here down in Devon. And in those days, of course, we had to come down to it, bring the children, or grandchildren, eventually, and look after them, you know, for the school holidays. Well, their parents worked, but as I say, I've still got the caravan, to be honest with you. Actually, I bought it new 23 years ago, the van. But prior to that, I had an older one. You know, I've had three caravans on that site in over the years. But that, if I think about where my friends are, and I mean friends, I mean there. I mean, I know my neighbours to say good morning to, but I don't do anything socially with them. Whereas when I'm out there, there's always something going on. To be honest, the last 2 years I've hardly been out at all. In fact, 2 years ago I didn't go out at all because I was ill. I feel that if I'm out there, there are a lot of people that, you know, would look out for me. I was swimming up until 3 years ago, 2 years ago actually. But after that, I got the gear upstairs and I wonder what to do with it, because I don't think I shall ever go swimming again. Anyway, there we are.
And you also did, you were part of the Flying Food Squad, the Food Flying Squad with WBS.
Yes. But do you mean when we?
You know, feeding people then.
We did all sorts of different feeding. Actually, I mean, we there was a fete every year that we used to do the food for. In that case, we were handling money, but not keeping it. We were serving food and. The money went into whatever charity it was. I forgot what charity it was now. But I've done a lot of that sort of thing, like the tattoo, that's another one. But we also did, I went to an ROC base and fed them on one of their exercises and stayed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, producing, well, I suppose it was, I don't know which way round it was. I know it was a lunch, a dinner and a breakfast. And we stayed overnight, so I assume we must have gone then after breakfast and stayed all day and then slept the night and mm-hmm. served the breakfast. But I don't know how that was it. Well, how I came to be asked to do that. But as I say, they'd ring up the WRVS office and say they wanted something done, and then if I felt I could do it, I would do it. You know. But that was a very weird place. It was all underground and a bit spooky. Anyway, there we are.
And you also attended events feeding the troops as well.
Oh well, that was the tattoo actually. I mean, every year we did this, but there wasn't. There were a large number of us. Well, I don't know, probably as many as 12, I should imagine, at that time, because we had long trestle tables and we served. We were actually serving food to the performers, the people that were taking part in the tattoo, actually. And, I don't know, that was on for several days, actually. Can't remember how many days now. But that was all quite simple food, really. Nothing. We had we did have an old-fashioned boiler though, with a coal burning underneath it to heat water. But it was quite simple food. Of nothing. You know, nothing difficult. Be honest, I can't remember the menus or now, it's too long ago.
And did you receive any training for, apart from the course that you went on yourself?
Oh no, nobody trained, no, I didn't have any WRVS training, but I did train trainers eventually. But I had no training at all. I suppose the answer is they realised I would turn my hand to anything, and that's how it all started really. But yes, no, I never. I didn't attend any WRVS training, but eventually when I left them, I did do a month's training. For school meals, but that was after I'd left the WRVS. I left them when I moved to Leon Solent, and my daughter's husband left her, and she felt she had to go up to work to support the children,
mm-hmm.
and so I had the children to look after, which meant that I had to give up the most of the activities we did. But yes, but I mean, when I was there, I did do training of trainers, but that was to do with a lady called Bird, Doreen Bird, I think it was, and she had me going all over the place. Actually, it was only once a week, but it was all over the place doing. Teaching people to become trainers, to, you know, sort of spread the word. But I had to give it all up in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I also had an elderly mother who came to, cake and everything. So that was it. But, yeah.
And when you were training people, were you training them to promote WBS, or were you training them to do things like emergency services?
Well, it was emergency service training. They'd already joined the WBS. Way back then, not everybody wore a uniform, you know. No. I mean, there were some people who just gave 2 hours a week, so, but, and then those that wanted to, were keen to do more, then they would come on training courses and learn to do more. But I never, but I, no, I can't remember. I can't remember having, attending anything myself as a, no. As a would-be trainee, you know. But I remember going up to London to represent 3 or 4 counties, it must have been, because there were only 12 of us at the cenotaph, you know, when, marching past the cenotaph. But there again, WRVS were almost the last people. It was the St John's Ambulance, WRVS, and another voluntary service, can't remember now. Red Cross, I suppose it must have been. Anyway, there were three. We were marched at the very end, and if you looked at the, which we did in the evening, the photographs taken for TV, they didn't hold it on to us at all. So we were hardly mentioned, you know. But we were there. Yeah, and then we had. Actually, we were taken to, I think it was Lady Reading's house, it must have been, for a meal. But we all dispersed back, you know, by train from where we came. And never met any of them again. They were more all over the place. I was representing, you know, sort of Cornwall, Devon, Gloucestershire, Wiltshire, Hampshire, I think. And so it was interesting. Mm.
And did you meet Lady Reading while you were?
Oh yes, there? Oh yes.
And what were your impressions of her?
Oh dear. To be honest, I can't. I can't give you an answer to that. I had respect for her, but I mean, apart from the on that one occasion, you know, I never got in contact with her again.
No,
but she must have been a kind-hearted person to do what she did, mustn't she? There we are. As I say, I didn't contact any of the others again.
No.
So that was that.
And also in 1968, you were feeding German students.
Oh yes, that was. I don't know what that was all about. There were 40 of them, I think, something like that. And we fed them for quite a long period. Let me see. Well, I suppose it must have been all their meals. Must have been, mustn't it? I mean, they came to where we were, you know, we fed them at I don't know. It must have been the WRBS kitchen, mustn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see what else it could have been. But it was Well, I mean, we literally didn't have great social contact with them. We simply produced the meals and mm-hmm. they thanked us and that was that, you know. But I personally didn't form any bond. I was probably too busy making sure everything was going all right. But it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, that school. No, I honestly don't remember a lot about it at all. No. You can see when we fed people at this occasion, Cheshire mm-hmm. Home Foundation, I had to do all the buying all the food and everything for them. A whole lot, you know, the bread, butter, the, and... and even had to take our utensils out, like there's the utensils mm-hmm. we had to take with us. Yes.
Hey. 200 cups and saucers and...
Yeah. And down here I say, suggest next time mugs of tea, no refinements, so that people are not lured from tea tent. No, I don't get that. Yeah. No, the... That was obvious of Callum, of the mm-hmm. layout, L shape. I know it took up an awful lot of my time because I had to go around pricing everything and then buying it and then getting the money to cover it. And then another thing we seem to have done was we produced food on the way to a student's walk, remember?
Yeah.
And we did that as well. We were always doing odd. Oh, there's the Germans. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, their meals worked out. 10 potato a meal.
That's not well.
Oh dear me! Yes, and that's all the things that I had to buy. Obviously, beef, carrots, onions, potatoes, lard, cheese.
She posts about this.
Okay, now thank you, dear.
I'm just going into the toilet.
Right to our. Yeah.
So, lots of different, sort of the basic food supplies, really.
Yes. Yes, that's just notes about what how I worked it out, how much to buy, you know.
Yeah.
But, I don't think I could do it off the bat now. I would have to refer to my notes of the past in order to organise that. I think it'd be
10 shillings. And you also mentioned the working with the Cheshire Homes.
Oh, yes.
Did you do that every year?
Every year, yes. We did. They did a charity thing out there. We just, in fact, to be honest, I never really had time to see what other people were doing. We just had this feeding tent, and that was it. But that was another good cause.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, anything that we were asked to do, we invariably said, you know, if we possibly could, said yes. I don't suppose they take it on though.
No. And we mentioned the training before, but when you were giving the 1 in 5 sort of part of the training,
mm-hmm.
Did you feel that that was actually useful?
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no. That training.
Were you talking about training when you were giving training? And
well, to be honest, I don't remember a lot about it. It was Doreen Bird who got me on to doing this training. This was in Hampshire, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I can't remember much about it now. I know. Yes. Oh, that's 1 in 5 talks. Yes. Well, I'm not. I. Yes. No. To be honest, I know. That's when I was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
There were, yes, that's me leaving, and that was the lady in charge at the time. Yeah.
And are they presenting you with a gift?
Yes, yes. Yes. Oh, there's Liddy. There's Liddy Redding. Oh, no, sorry. No, that's Lady Lucas Tooth. That's another
one. Oh, I see. She was head of 1 in 5, wasn't she? And
yes,
very similar thing.
Alison Campbell was that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mayor, whose name at the time was Royston Tucker, and Lady Lucas Tooth, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, you can see from... It was my section that they were inspecting. Yeah. What that was about, I don't know. Some swallow that was in me, I suppose. But after all these years, I really don't remember. Yes, no, it's all too... You can't imagine what it must have been like years ago, because... I mean, if you try to persuade somebody now to make a refuge room or a larder, they wouldn't know what you were talking about, and they would think you were daft anyway. We did talk about what you could do in case of mm-hmm. A calamity, but I can't imagine anybody doing any of the things I mentioned now.
No.
Telling you paint your woodwork with a solution of water glass, kaolin, and of water, which will make it less liable for fires.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I have no doubt that I had no time on all this, but I've long since discarded them because.
Mm-hmm.
No longer of any, you know. I don't think anything there. Great use to you, really.
And did you attend any emergencies? Were you on the emergency team?
Oh, we must have done. I can remember people was on camp beds and going in to feed them, but what the emergency was, I honestly don't know now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. At the time, it was just one more job to do. No. Can't think what it could have been. Because, I mean, it wasn't anything I could... Perhaps they'd been... building had caught fire, and they... I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. After all these years, it's faded in the background. No.
And you mentioned before that you went to the Senator.
Yes.
Did you do anything representing WBS or WRBS in any other way?
No, I don't think so. I went to the annual parades at Bath Abbey, you know, in uniform once a year with that. And as I say, I went up to represent my part of England. But we went up individually, you know, and... literally, we were told beforehand what, you know, what to wear, what, you know, full uniform. But in actual fact, I turned up with my hat on.
Yeah.
And the other had berries.
Oh.
But I mean, I don't know why we were given the choice, you know, when you went... Oh, I think I had to go to London to buy my... I must have done. There's nowhere in Bath you'd buy it.
Well, I think at the time the uniforms came from Harrods, I think, or somewhere like that.
I honestly can't remember, but I know that there was a choice of hat, and I chose that type of hat. But as you can see there, they've got berries on.
Yeah, and you've got the one with the rim.
Yeah.
The sort of bowler.
Yeah. But, I mean, that wasn't... Because I was anyone... special, really. Yeah. I mean, it was available to anyone who wanted it. Yeah. Of course, the thing on the sleeves is a bit different, but I don't know what all that was about now.
Yeah. And with this newspaper clip, it says there you're an emergency services organiser.
And that's what it was, yeah.
So you were in charge of... the emergency team then?
Oh yes, in Bath, yes. Yes. Oh yes, yes. Oh yes, yes. Oh yes, I was in charge of it, all organising any emergency. I mean, that was you know, down to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember. I mean, we did whatever we had to do. I really can't remember. I can remember these people in beds and having... They were obviously refugees from something, but I don't know what. Having said the word refugee, we also had refugees from Poland, didn't we, that came to Bath?
Yes, you during the time you were with WS, you probably had Polish and Hungarian.
And we did things for them as well. In fact, I think some of the housing, the furniture that I was putting in houses for them. Yes. But it was just plus a case of if you were asked to tackle a job, you did it to the best of your ability.
And when you were putting furniture in houses, were they empty houses or were people already living?
Well, it was a mixture, wasn't it? I mean, doctors would go to somebody's house and find it was very sparsely furnished and they could do an extra something rather.
Yeah.
And then it would be suggested to us that if we had something that would fit in with it, we could take it there. I mean, we took all sorts of settees, small armchairs, in fact, dining room table and chairs. But, I mean, whatever was given us in the store, we would find a home for, you know. Mm-hmm. But some of the furniture was very good, and others, of course, weren't. And something like somebody dying, for instance, a relation coming to settle up their home, then they would contact us and say, "Do you like all the furniture?" And we'd go along and say, "Yes, please," yes. You know. But we never knew what we were going to have. I mean, sometimes we had a large amount of stuff in, and other times it was difficult to find things. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even went as far as upholstering chairs for them. Taking them home and getting springs and... Oh, dear. But, yes. Yes, that was another job I taught myself, too. Mm-hmm. By taking a chair to pieces and realising how it put together, you could then, but then of course that meant going out and buying springs and buying material. You'd put a heavy piece of material across the bottom and put springs on them and sew them in so they wouldn't move, and then the springs would come above the wooden part of the seat. Mm-hmm. But you'd compress it down by putting cloth over it and tacking it down all round, and then building padding on top, yeah, of that, and then the cover. You know, it's... yes, I've done...
done a bit of everything.
Oh, dear me. Yes. Yes, I have. Yes. And I was lucky in that I didn't... You know, I had plenty of help at home, you know, my own home, so...
Yeah.
That, And I've always been practical. I've always liked doing things with my hands, and so there we are. Yeah. Yeah.
And did you always get good quality furniture from people who were giving it to you?
Well, not always. If it was rubbish, it went straight. Was there a dump? Must have been a dump, wasn't there? Can't remember it, but I know. It's very difficult to say no if somebody thinks they're giving you something that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm fairly certain we accepted it, but then discarded it, that we must have had a means of disposing of it somewhere. But I really can't remember. I know there are dumps around here you can take things to, but this is they must have had the same there, but I can't remember it. I know not everything was worth having. But then you might have a bed and the mattress was no good. You discard the mattress and get another mattress. You know.
And the people who you were giving the furniture to, were they sort of sent to you through social services or...?
Well, it was, as I say, it was doctors' recommendations and church padres' recommendations and that sort of thing. I don't think there was a social service as such in those days. Not. I suppose. Do you know? I don't know. I'm fairly certain that our recommendations came from. Or people who would be in contact with the poor, like as I say, doctors and yes, I'm sure I can't remember having any correspondence at all with the council as such. Yeah. You know, I mean, in fact, I'm even wondering whether we had such a thing. If there was, I don't remember it. No.
So as well as furniture, Meals on Wheels, and emergency services, was there anything else you did with WVS or WRVS?
Well, yes. in my own car, I used to drive people, again, that must have been something to do with the doctors, people who were, did they find places for people to go on holiday free? I think they must have done. I used to drive people down to the coast, you know, to and drop them there, and then go back, you know, a week or a fortnight later and pick them up and bring them back. But who organised that, I don't know. See, all my work came through the secretary in the office, and she would say, we've got a request for so-and-so, and I would say, right, I can do that, you know, and I would say I could do it on, say, a Monday or Friday, and then she'd do some phoning around and come back and say, do it on Friday, you know.
Yeah.
And, but that's how it worked. I simply turned my hand to anything that was going, you know. And as I said, we had this, it must have been donated, we had a 1,500 weight van from somewhere, which I used to drive, which is quite a big one, really. It was interesting. Yeah.
And how did you feel about having to drive such a big van?
Oh, I didn't mind. That didn't worry me a bit. In fact, I mean, I'm 93 now. I only gave up my car in October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just trying. Yeah. I was, up until 92, age 92, I was driving. I gave up in October, and I was 93 in May. Yeah. But, oh no. I mean, I'd been driving ever since I was 17. Mm-hmm. I suppose it was a bit unusual for women to drive in those days, but I did. I drove at 17. I was in Malta at the time that I first drove, and then it was automatically wherever I was, there was a car. I mean, as I say, financially my parents were okay, and I didn't actually have my own car until I was married, but once we were married, I drove a car before my husband, to be honest with you. In the end, I persuaded him that he ought to, and then we ran two cars. So then we had an extra garage built on the side of the house. We had originally a driveway, quite a steep driveway that went up for one garage, but then we had a space of the width of a drive made a flower bed, and we scrapped that and made double gates at the bottom, and put the extra garage on the side, and then we had run the two cars, but nothing too swishy. It was I don't remember now, must have been a box of some sort, I think. That's what I was always keen on. But, just a useful car. My first one was Ford, not the first car I ever had, because they were difficult to get for a while after the war. Yeah. Yeah.
And did you use your own car for Meals on Wheels, or did you use the WRVS?
Oh, no. Oh, it was my own car. Oh, yes, it was my own. If I had to do Meals on Wheels, it was my own car, yes. 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 But, I mean, the route was already planned. Mm-hmm. I mean, all I did was to literally turn up and drive, you know, with a lady beside me who knew the route.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. But at one stage, we dish out the food from the containers in the back of a van. But then later we got on to having the food in containers in a sort of heater thing.
You know? Yeah, in a hot block.
In the back of the car. Yes.
And was it always hot meals that you were...
Oh yes, always hot meals, yes. Yes. But I said a lot of the people that we went to were just old and doddery and wanted someone to talk to, and of course we hadn't time to stop, had we? Not really.
No.
No.
And do you have anything else you'd like to share about your time with WRVS, WVS?
Not really. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything I did. And as I say, as you know, we never knew. Well, I never knew what I was going to do that day because I would, you know, the office would tell me what was what, and off I would go. But it certainly filled my life for many years. But then eventually, as I say, I gave up because I had grandchildren to look after and an elderly mother. So that was the end of my WRVS. But that was also because they also asked me if I would go to London and do some work for them, and I turned that down. I can't remember exactly what it was now, but it took up too much of my time, and I just couldn't give it. So in the end, I gave up altogether. Can't remember the last job I did. Anyway, there we are.
And do you have a particularly favourite or most memorable moment of your time with WVS, WRVS?
Not really. I mean, I enjoyed being with, you know, there was no one I disliked. I just enjoyed whatever I did, to be honest with you. It didn't really worry me. I haven't really a favourite, I don't think. I used to enjoy cutting the furniture around, but I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do that. Well, in any case, when I went to Hampshire, that was over, wasn't it? That I didn't do anything like that then. It was all a case of training when I went to Hampshire, and I didn't enjoy that so much, to be honest with you. And I'm not so. I'm a doer rather than a
rather than telling people what to do.
Yep. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yes, bit like my friend out in the garden. She's chopping down a tree. Oh dear. Yeah.
And do you know anything about the organisation as it is today? No.
Not a thing. Not a thing, no. I was surprised to get a begging letter a long time ago. That's how you found out about me. And in my day, we didn't touch money except fates and things, and then it was only temporary, or we had to, you know, give it all in. And we never charged for anything.
No.
And so I was quite surprised when I got this letter telling me that it's a different system now. It must be, you know. Yes. In fact, you've dropped the woman's, haven't you?
Yes. No, Royal Voluntary Service.
Yes. And you've got a lot of males now, I imagine.
A few, yeah.
A few, yes, yeah. Yes, we started having males in. Bath, just before I left. I don't know why, but he started allowing men to help. Well, I think probably originally they were probably just driving cars, you know. Yes. No, it's been an interesting life.
Yeah.
But I've no particular best memory.
No.
It was all interesting and having to cope with things, you know, with something cropping up and having to deal with it. That's what I like doing, really. But I wouldn't want to be a cook as such, you know. No. Not really. I was for a very, very brief period in a school long after I'd left the WRVS. But that's another story. That's my son not going, applying for a grant. And so I decided I'd better go out and work for it. I needn't have done when we had the money, but I felt it was a bit, I don't know. I just felt that I'd like to earn the money to cover it myself, so I did. But I didn't do it very long. I was a school cook, and around 300 children actually to feed. But that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
When I joined up there, I'd been used to working with WRVS, which you'd say, would you mind putting the kettle on, or please can you pass me the whatever it is. And doing that attitude with the paid employees, they were sort of, if they had a choice, they would always say no, you know. But when I started ordering them around, then I earned respect, which to me was very weird. But I'd soon known that if I treated them tough, they had more respect for me. Which, to be honest with you, at the time, I couldn't understand.
No.
Because I'd been used to working with what I considered to be people the same as me. And, you know, I was used to saying, would you help me with this? And will you... But that, that was life, but I got on with it in the end. Yes. Yes, I had I attended training for that, and even to the stage where we were taught how to put fires out, which worried me intensely.
Yes,
they would light a whole pan with fire, and you had to take a cloth and put over the flames to, you know, obscure the air, and that way the flames would go out. But I could do it, but I hoped I never would have to do it for real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. That was about the only bit of training I didn't enjoy. But that wasn't WRVS training, that was school's meals training. Mm.
Well, thank you for talking to me today, Gladys. And this will make a very good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.